This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is Mrs. LaGreca, Don's mom. Time for Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, Mrs. LaGreca, always a pleasure to start the day with you.
There you go.
I mean, listen, we're not going to have Michael for a couple of innings here. They're in the seventh now.
There you go. Yeah.
And this exciting Yankee National Spring Training extravaganza.
No, Michael K.
But we will have Michael shortly. Donald, how are you?
Good. And yourself?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good. The snow, the huge, there's no more remnants of the huge blizzard we had this week. And, you know, we have a huge Knick game tonight. The Nets are involved in it as well.
But it matters. It's not just, oh, we're in the same division, we share the same city. No, they're battling for position, and they kind of have to have this one, right? You're getting the Nets in a second of back-to-backs. Milwaukee won their 15th in a row, beating the Nets last night. You know, you're riding high, feeling pretty good. It takes a little of the starch out of the victory against the Celtics if you lose tonight to the Nets. So, you know, heave-ho, seven in a row.
Heave ho, seven rows is right. And Don, also, we will not see Patrick Kane until tomorrow.
That's right. Apparently, some travel logistics and just let him get to New York and get acclimated and play tomorrow. And apparently, everybody from the station's going. All of a sudden, nobody cares about hockey, and like every management type is going.
Really?
Kay's going.
Wait, Kay is going?
No, I don't know. I said, I wonder if Kay's
going. I want some names. Who's going tomorrow?
Well, John's going, Ryan's going, Brownshire's going.
Oh, one of those days, huh?
It's one of those days.
Yeah.
No one gave your boy. No one gave your boy the invite. I'm not invited to the Rangers party.
Well, I'm inviting you. How about that?
Wow.
I'm going, but I'm working. But you know, you can hang with me if you like.
That's. You know what? I can watch on TV. I'll be just fine.
Yeah, it's a televised event. You're good.
It's a televised event. Now, was Aaron Rodgers' conversation on this podcast? A televised event on the Aubrey Marcus pod. Is that a video pod there, Anthony, or is it an audio pod?
I saw both, yeah. So I saw some video.
Because, you know, these days the podcast isn't a podcast. It's a TV show.
TV.
I'm doing my podcast tonight, Don, and we have to, like, have real cameras. You have to, like, it's like such a... It's completely stripped away why people like you and I, with faces made for radio, it's completely stripped away the point of what we do.
Right, I know.
Everything's on video. But anyways, Aaron Rodgers went on the Aubrey Marcus podcast. It's like a fitness kind of situation. Here is Rodgers talking about his decision timeline.
It's best for anybody who has an interest in this to make a decision sooner rather than later. You know, I remember, you know, when Favre, before he retired, you know, there were times where it was in April and May, and he still, you know, we weren't sure if he was going to come back because he didn't come to any of the offseason program. And then in 2008, he actually did retire in March and then kind of said, no, actually in June after OTAs, I actually want to come back and play. And then that's when, you know, I've been traded to the Jets, and you know, there was obviously a lot of tension that summer. But for everybody involved directly and indirectly, it's best for a decision earlier, and I feel really good about the conversations that are going to be had, that have been had with important people in my life, yourself included, that helped to orient me. But I'm not looking for somebody to tell me what the answer is. All the answers are right inside me.
Wow. And one more, Don. He says the thought of retiring was a scary one.
One option was scary and one was unknown.
And which was which?
The scary was retirement. Mm-hmm. And the unknown was going back and playing. And what does that mean? Is that Green Bay? Is that somewhere else? If that's somewhere else, what is it like being somewhere else?
Don,
that's fair. That was a fair comment.
That was not gobbledygook. That last one made some sense. Okay.
Yeah, because there is the unknown. And when I was first hearing it, I'm like, well, the unknown, does that mean he's not going back to the Packers? Because that would be known. I still kind of lean towards, it sounds like he's not going back to the Packers, because why would it be just so unknown if he doesn't retire? He said one's scary, one's unknown. The scary is retiring. The unknown is deciding to play.
All so the answers are right inside me.
If, thank you.
He did throw out the Packers at the tail end to kind of take you off the trail, But his initial comment was the unknown of not retiring. So can I play the role of Mike Greenberg in hoping or translating that it doesn't sound like the Packers would be a viable option if he decides not to retire? Is that too much of a leap?
No. It's a fair leap. I'm sorry, Don. I have to be honest. I was reading the bio of Aubrey Marcus, the person who's podcasting.
Let's hear, because apparently he's part of the decision process. So
right.
To know
he's part of the inner circle, apparently.
Yes.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Aubrey Marcus is the this is his own bio, by the way, it should be done. Aubrey Marcus is the founder of Onnit, a globally disruptive brand based on a holistic health philosophy he calls total human optimization. Onnit remains an industry leader with products optimizing millions of lives, including many top professional athletes around the world.
I see. Uh-huh.
Aubrey currently hosts the Aubrey Marcus Podcast, a motivational destination for conversations with the brightest minds.
Who's talking now?
In athletics, business, mindset, and spirituality, with over 50 million listens. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, Own the Day, Own Your Life, and has been featured on the cover of Men's Health and other publications. He sounds like a grifting fraud, but besides that, a great guy.
He's a bit of a grifter, for sure.
Here's the grifty part, okay? Yeah. And I'm not saying he's not like legitimate, but Don, the part that here's what sounds grifty: a globally disruptive brand.
Yes,
that is annoying. Having his philosophy that he calls total human optimization. Those are the parts that felt the most grifty, to me. When everyone has when anyone has like a name for their method of doing things, I don't trust it.
Right, it's like when you try to exaggerate a resume. I pumped gas at Getty. No, I was in charge of petroleum distribution.
Right,
so you're trying to dress it up a little bit for us. Listen, it's very fluid, my opinion on this. I still believe Rodgers is the better option when all things are equal, but it's been a few days since he came out of the hole. And I really thought, because you asked the question during our meeting, what was I expecting him to do when he came out of the darkness retreat? What I was expecting him to do in some short order was to decide whether he's playing or not. I didn't expect him to come out and say, Jets or Raiders. I expected him to come out and say, I'm going to play or not. But it seems like he's going to milk it a little while longer.
Of course he is.
At least for the next, I would think, within at least the next week or two. And if the Jets, seriously, they're going to meet with Carr a second time, and if these reports are true, that they believe that he can go to the Hall of Fame if he becomes a Jet, that they're going to win a championship with him, you know what? Let's just sign him. Let's just sign Carr, move on, and just be done with all this. Because you can't have him slip through your fingers. He met with the Saints, meeting with the Panthers. The NFC teams, Peter, don't have to worry about waiting for Rodgers. Because it doesn't sound like the Packers are going to trade him in the NFC. So those teams are already at an advantage against the Jets signing Derek Carr. Now, I don't know. Maybe they're blowing smoke up as you know what. And they don't really believe they can win a championship the way they're saying, or he's going to the Hall of Fame. But if they do think that they can win with him, Peter, what are you waiting on, man? Let's just do it.
1-800-919-3776. We got the Knicks on the table. Curious to where Knicks fans are at heading into tonight. And if Nets fans do, in fact, still exist, how they're feeling about tonight as well. Although I imagine the Knicks fan base is going to be a little bit more jazzed for that. And, Don, as for the Rodgers of it all, I'm curious for Jets fans. If you could find out, if you had a real idea of what the percentage chances were, how high a percentage do you need the likelihood to be of getting Rodgers that you'd be willing to pass up on going for Carr? If, in fact, Carr going elsewhere is a possibility, which I have to imagine it is. Because to me, if you're telling me the Rodgers proposition is only 50-50, and right now I can get Carr if I want him, but he may not be available in a few days, and I'm at 50-50 or worse with Rodgers, I'm going for Carr.
Yeah,
and I might even go for Carr regardless, just on the strength of not feeling like dealing with this.
I'm not even worried about the dealing with it as much as I don't want to wait, lose Carr, and then lose Rodgers, and then what am I doing? Because I think there's a distinct drop-off to Garoppolo and Tannehill and anybody else you want to bring in here. I know that a lot of Jet fans want to like at least kick the tires on trading for Lamar Jackson, but that also becomes a waiting game too. There's a lot you'd have to give up. There's a lot that you're going to have to pay him guaranteed money for a guy that's been banged up. That's no panacea either, Lamar Jackson. You know, so when it's all said and done, Carr's a good guy. We saw a stat earlier today that he's played like literally on the worst defenses in the history of the Super Bowl era. Like, there's been no quarterback that has had a defense give up more points than Derek Carr defenses while he's
with
the Raiders.
Yeah, I think 26 a game.
And it's so when you look at his record and all that, you got to take that into account. Now he's going to go join a team that's got a top five defense. Kay can argue all he wants is it a championship defense. It's a top five defense, as opposed to him playing on a team that's giving up 26 before kickoff, basically. So I want Rodgers, I do. But if he's going to drag this through the next couple of weeks and you've got legitimate offers for Carr, how can you take the chance, Peter? I would say if you're looking at a percentile, I think it's got to be over 80% that you're signing Rodgers. Anything less than that, just go get Carr.
I think that's fair. 1-800-919-3776. And for a topic like this, you know the man we want to go to first.
Oh, Ira Staten Island?
Yeah,
the man. I don't even have the call screener in front of me.
No, you knew. I guess your hotline went off, Ira. Thank you for joining us. What are your thoughts?
Well, thanks for having the show, and I could listen. Well, you know my thoughts. For the last month, I've been saying Derek Carr. And you know how I felt about Aaron Rodgers. It has nothing to do with his ability on the field. He's too unstable for a young, up-and-coming team like the Jets and for Douglas and Saleh. And Woody Johnson, from what I've heard or read, he's either in Indianapolis now or headed down there. You got to seal the deal this afternoon or tonight and put an end to this. Because like you just said, Don, if they said, I mean, why is Carr going there to have lunch again or dinner again? He did that. He's done that already. Now it's time to either write a check or don't write a check. And if they don't write a check, and then if they're going to sit and wait for Rodgers and they get burned and they have to bring in Baker Mayfield or Ryan Tannehill, yeah, then they deserve what they get. Go get yourself Carr and go build your team the way you should build it. Because if you blow this opportunity, you're going to set this franchise back for another 5 years, especially after they blew the pick on Zach Wilson.
I'm not even worried about him being a nozzle. I need a decision. I need to know where to go. And you bring up a fabulous point, Ira, that I didn't even consider, that we can really dive into, that can be kind of juicy, Peter. What is behind a second meeting with Carr? Like, you had the meeting with him. You were impressed with him. Reports were that you think you can win a championship. You told him that he'll be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. So what's the second meeting about? Like, what else is there to discuss other than numbers, right? So maybe this second meeting is the realization that the Jets are ready to move on for hoping for Rodgers. Because what would the second meeting produce?
Great point.
And so it's got to be talking finances, right, Ira? What else? What would the second meeting be about?
Yeah, Ira, you're going to be there. What do you expect?
Well, I expect if it was me, I know my parameters of the contract. I give him a 4 to 5 year deal, whatever the guaranteed money might be, but it's probably going to average between $38 and $40 million. That's about the going rate. And you know what? If I have to pay a little more now because I got burnt waiting for Rodgers, I'm going to do what I have to do because the Jets haven't had a quarterback. No disrespect to Pennington or Testaverde or anybody. They haven't had a franchise quarterback since Namath. And honestly, I think Carr could be your franchise quarterback. So I'm paying him what he wants.
All right. I appreciate that, Ira. And I'll tell you what. I mean, I've heard people sort of laugh at Carr, too. Like, Ballard at some point was like, I mean, really? Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr? What are we talking about? You just don't. I cannot continue to have people tell me that Aaron Rodgers will never age. Like, as if the Tom Brady thing happens all the time, Don.
Right.
Like, every quarterback plays to 43 now. No. But who's the other one? Is there another one right now that's happened recently with that's played into their 40s?
No, but listen, the guy just won 2 MVPs. So I'm not even, honestly.
But it's going to happen.
No, it's
going
to happen.
Like, it's not
still
a guarantee. You cannot tell me you know that over the next 2 years you're getting the exact same guy.
No.
So you have some level of risk. You also have the risk of not getting him at all. And then you have the general annoyingness of this entire operation. Derek Carr is a really good quarterback who you can have for longer and get for nothing. There's a lot of upside. Risk versus reward is a thing, guys. There's a lot of risk with Aaron Rodgers. Yes, the reward's higher, but you got to weigh the risk.
But honestly, Peter, with me thinking about just shifting gears with my opinion and going with Carr has nothing to do with the nozzle, has nothing to do with the risk factor of him all of a sudden dropping off a cliff. It has everything to do with I can't afford to wait anymore. I just can't. We got to get going here. It's March already. And he just did a podcast. He's still not sure whether he's going to retire. So then he's got to make that decision. And then he makes the decision that I'm not going to retire, I'm going to play. Then it's a whole other layer of decisions on, is he going back to the Packers? Does he want to go to the Jets? All right, now he wants to go to the Jets. Now another layer of negotiating with the Packers on what to send them. Like, you're going to run out of time. And Carr's meeting with the Panthers. He's met with the Saints already. Like, how much time do you think it's going to be where Carr's going to be like, all right, goodbye, I'm going someplace else? I can't wait anymore. And the fact that they're having a second meeting tells me, Peter, there must have been some date, self-imposed date in the mind of Joe Douglas where we're going to amp these negotiations up because we can't wait anymore.
Yeah, maybe part of it.
I think he's there.
And maybe one of his, if this guy gets out of his damn hole and still doesn't pick up the phone, that's the date. Let's hear from Dante in Hillside. What's up, Dante?
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've been in season ticket holders since 2010. But Jets fans, we're tired, man. I had to deal with going to the stadium, and they had to literally let off a cannon to get Jet fans into the seats. Like, at this point, man, just give me my quarterback. All I need is a 50-50% chance. You give me a 50-50% chance that Aaron Rodgers is going to be in a Jet jersey, I'll wait. Because I don't need Derek Carr to come here and get me 10, 9, 10, 11 wins and we still make the playoffs. Don't need it. Go give me my guy. Wait for it. Just see what happens. Roll the dice.
But see what happens if it's the 50% that he doesn't come here and Carr signs someplace else. Then you're talking Garoppolo. You're talking Tannehill. I think that's a drop-off.
Is it really a big drop-off? I don't think it's that big of a drop-off.
Yes.
I don't think Derek Carr is that much better. How many playoff games has Derek Carr won?
He's played in one. We just gave you the stats. His defenses, on average, give up 26 points a game. So you'd rather have Jimmy – you don't think there's a drop-off between Carr and Garoppolo or Carr and Tannehill?
Now, Tannehill, absolutely not. I do not want Tannehill. But this is my thing. The risk-reward, I know what Aaron Rodgers is going to give me. I know this for a fact. If you put Aaron Rodgers with this defense, and I know it's a risk because you got to wait, but if you put him on this team, you really do have a chance to compete with Mahomes, to compete with Burrow. You're telling me that if we get Derek Carr – that we're really going to be able to get to that AFC Championship game or possibly Super Bowl, I don't see it.
I hear you, Dante, and it's a very good phone call. You don't see any risk in Rodgers. Just for the record, just so you know, Derek Carr has never missed a game. Aaron Rodgers pushing 40 years old. You don't think there's a world in which he gets dinged up in preseason and all of a sudden you're starting the first 3 weeks without him? And then what are you doing, Zach Wilson? You can't rule it out at that age. I'm sorry.
But my argument, guys, is he still there? Because he deserved to answer the
question. I gave him time. He didn't answer, so I hung up on him.
Is Peter, he's willing to go 50-50, meaning there's a 50% you get nothing. Because now if you tell me, oh, it's 50-50, I get Rodgers, and if I don't get Rodgers, I get Carr, then wait.
Oh, right.
Carr's just going to sit there and wait. Absolutely, but I don't think he's going to wait.
That's you just nailed it. If it's 50-50 and the other 50 is Carr, I got no issue. Let's go to Ted, who wants to talk a little Knicks. What's up, Ted?
Hey, guys. First time, long time.
Happy to hear from you.
I heard something on the Han show, and they were saying that they did an interview. Somebody did an interview with Mikal Bridges, and they were saying how they would love to get him in a Knick uniform. And then they went on to say that they would trade Barrett and even possibly Quickly or Mitchell Robinson for Mikal Bridges. Now, I understand this is a very random phone call, and it's ridiculous because it would have to happen in the offseason. But that would be utterly insane, okay? Do they realize Mikal Bridges is a role player at best? I mean, Barrett has the opportunity to become a very good player. The reason why he's not producing right now is because he's a rhythm player, and Randall takes away all his, you know, everything that he does well. That's what Barrett does. Barrett is not Kyle Korver. He's not a 3-and-D guy. But, you know, you don't trade him for Mikal Bridges. I think that's ridiculous.
I mean,
I was wondering your thoughts.
Thanks for the call, Ted. Not that random, only slightly random. I'm sorry, Don, I think you're going to agree with me here. That was a slightly inflated view of RJ Barrett at this point, and a sort of taking the air out of Mikal Bridges, who at this point, at this very moment, would you rather have RJ Barrett than Mikal Bridges?
Yeah, you're right.
He's scoring 24 points a game.
Yeah,
there we go again. By the way, every Knicks fan has to throw in how Randall's ruining it for someone. RJ Barrett would be great if not for Julius Randle. I don't know. I don't think that's that wild, man. I think Knicks fans, you guys, you may have to start letting go with the RJ Barrett being a big part of this thing. It pains me to say it. First of all, Don, you know I would love being Canadian, just like you. Love RJ Barrett.
Right.
Think he's a great kid, and have enjoyed the moments. The buzzer beater against the Celtics last year. There's been a bunch of moments with RJ that you love, but I think you got to start accepting he's going to be on Don. He's going to be a movable piece for them at some point if they can still move him.
The idea that they're going to be able to build with him being a part of this team, every game it just seems like there's less and less of a chance of that. I understand he was a third overall pick. I understand he's a homegrown guy. But really, if this team's going to turn the corner and you've got a chance to turn that corner by sending him someplace else, you got to let it go. Rhythm. He's a rhythm. Well, there's always an excuse. If they can better themselves, forget where you drafted them.
Just a quick update in case you're wondering, and I know this is the kind of stat that would set Michael on fire. He is a 10% better shooter from the field right now than RJ. RJ is shooting at 43%. Mikal Bridges is at 53%. I'm sorry.
There you go.
You might have to let go of that idea. We have Jets calls, Knicks calls, Rangers calls, and we'll get to all of them next, right here on The K Show.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We should have Michael here very shortly. What's our status, Anthony, on the Yankee game? You know it's too far away for my old eyes to see at this point.
Top 9, 2-2, and I don't think we play extras anymore training. So.
No, we don't. Do the right thing. Did you see the other day when the umpires left, thought the game was over, and just took a stroll?
Yeah, and then the players just continue to play.
By the way, didn't that sum up what spring training baseball is on both counts? Number one, that the umpires didn't realize where in the game it was, and then also the players like, well, I mean, we don't really care. It doesn't matter. We're just here to practice anyway.
That hit home for me when I was a kid. All right, so picture, if you will, young Don LaGreca in the time zones.
LaGreca, 80s Jersey, New Jersey.
And usually be like a Saturday or Sunday afternoon when they would televise the occasional spring training game. And I'd be watching the game. I didn't know. It's a game. It's a baseball game. I don't know. Grapefruit League, Cactus League. Who knew any of that stuff? And then I'm like, Dad, why in the middle of the game are there guys jogging on the warning track? And he goes, because it's an exhibition game. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And so think of like a young kid yesterday. Dad, why are the umpires wandering? Like, and it wasn't like they went into the tunnel like in an actual baseball game. Like, they just wandered down the right field line.
Just straight up roaming around on the field.
And he was like, you know what? The catcher's going to be the umpire. Let's just finish up here. Like, so, yeah, it's fun, but it's not real.
It is interesting. You know, the clock existing in spring training is interesting.
Yes.
Because the spring training game was the definition of you're just going to – I've never done spring training, but it's always seemed kind of appealing to me if I was in a world where I could take vacation to just go, like, hang out, go to a game every day, sit around, drink some beers. Don't even – now, like, you blink and the game's over. Well, except for this Yankee game, of course.
Yeah, it figures the first one that we're delayed getting the great Michael Kay on the air.
We suck.
For some guys, you know, recovering from injury or trying to make the team or make a name for themselves someplace else, it means a lot. But Aaron Judge doesn't have to worry about getting cut, okay? So he can work on some things. Pitchers, you know, I'm just going to decide to throw fastballs today because that's what I need to work on. So, you know, having these scores, they played, nobody died, move on.
Let's go to Ahmed in Queens. What's up, Ahmed?
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, guys. I just wanted to point out two things that people don't realize. Number one, right, the offensive coordinator. For a new quarterback to come into a new offensive coordinator might be a little bit more difficult on an experienced quarterback, whereas the transition to the Jets, and he has Hackett there, he already knows the system. He's going to come in, and he's going to make it easier for everybody around him. That's one. The second point is I wanted to point out something financially. What if Carr says, you know what, let me wait until Aaron Rodgers gets signed. Now my value goes up, and now I become the number one guy. And then I can actually ask for more money because I'm going to be the one that everybody wants.
Not really, only because of the NFC-AFC thing, right? So, like, if he's talking to the Panthers and the Saints, it doesn't matter about Aaron Rodgers because the Packers aren't trading him in conference. And he can't worry about the Raiders because he's not going back to the Raiders, right? So I don't think it would work because what other team is he going to sign with? Apparently, I don't think they buy it. I don't buy it. The Tennessee's still, you know, we still believe in Tannehill or whatever, but he's not a free agent right now. So that's the problem with the thought. I mean, it's a good thought, but there's no leverage there because to some of the teams he can sign with, the Saints, the Panthers, they don't care about Rodgers.
Okay, well, what about the offensive coordinator thing where it's easier for Rodgers to play?
Definitely. I mean, I'm not worried about Rodgers performing, and I don't think it'll be an issue with the young receivers. He feels good about Hackett. I think that's a good point. I don't really worry about either of these two quarterbacks having to learn a new system, especially Rodgers. I think he would slide right in and do fine.
Let's go to Rasheem in the car. What's up, Rasheem?
Hey, how's it going? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, sure.
Thank you. Nice to hear y'all. Rosenberg, big fan. Listen to High Night Save every morning. So good to hear you all in the afternoons when I'm heading home to work.
Thank you, brother.
And thank you, Don, for also taking my call as well. Yeah, man, I just want to comment. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, when it comes to my Knicks, man, I've been a fan for like 30. I'm 33 years old, so I've been a fan for a long time, right? This is the first time I feel like where this is what I dreamed of, right? Like, you know, a great point guard. We have all the pieces. Center position is great. Our bench is still good. I know a lot of people talk about RJ, right? I feel like he's going to figure it out. And for what it's worth, I feel like he still has potential to even be even better to where he's at right now. And I feel even still, he still contributes to our winning mentality right now, too. So, you know, I know that's like a hot debate, you know, but I feel like he's all right. He's going to figure it out. He still helps us out. And I'm just really, really happy to see where we're at. And I feel like I don't know how far we'll go. I'm hoping fourth, fifth. I think that fourth is possible.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll just got to future calls. I'm just very happy. Just wanted to say that.
I love that call, Rasheem. And God, Don, could there be anything more different than a Yankee fan and a Knick fan? I mean, he said this is what he's dreamed of. Okay, this is a modest, pretty good team with some nice pieces. They play really hard. They're winning basketball games. They got a chance to go to the playoffs, maybe win a series. And this guy's in the clouds. Well, this would make a Yankee fan sick.
Well, think about it. He said he's 32 years old, right?
33.
So the last time he saw this Knick team in the conference final would be 2000. So that's, you know, that's 22 years ago, going on 23 years ago. It'll be 23 this spring. So that would make him, what, 10? 9? So the, most of his life, all of his adult life, he is the only thing he saw was this team get out of the first round 10 years ago. So, yeah, that's what does he have to relate it to? He's not old enough to remember the run in 94. Maybe he got as a kid at 8 years old seeing their run to the final. I was when you're a kid. He's a grown man now. what has he seen?
No, you're right. It's the reasonable way to be. Let's go to Nate in Jersey. What's up, Nate?
Hey, what's up, Peter? What's up, Don? You guys do a great show even without Mike.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
When Michael does decide to hang it up and when it's time for him to go, you guys are going to just do great. It's going to be called The Show, but it's going to be great.
No, it's going to be, well, the show featuring and then plug in some random ex-New York athlete.
Right, it's going to be like Paul Bissonnette as some jabroni.
You know what? I don't know if the station's got the stomach for a Paul Bissonnette and some of the things he does and says. We would be quickly probably looking for another host, but I like where your head's at, but it's ESPN, so I would bet that it would be a football player.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Right.
All right, what do you got, Nate?
Probably. If you played a snap of football, you get the job.
Right.
So I have a Rangers point. I think the acquisition of Patrick Kane yesterday was incredible. Even though it is kind of like at the end of his, not really the end of his career, because he's only about 33.
34. So he'll be 35 in November. So it's not old, but it's definitely, he's on the back nine of his career, but there's still a lot of production there.
Okay. I don't even think it's worth arguing. This is the best top six in the NHL. And you could even argue, look at the bottom six between the kid line and the fourth line. It's incredible. I would like to argue, though, that I think they do need help defensively. What do you think they could possibly do to maybe fit someone else in to round out the edges?
Well, think about it. I don't know what you do.
It could be a collision course with the Devils.
What do you do? I mean, right now, Ryan Lindgren is a game-time decision because of the upper body injury, and Keandre Miller suspended three games for the spit. They don't have cap space. They're going to have to play with five defensemen tonight if Lindgren doesn't go.
Yeah,
they don't have
it's
cap space. So I don't know how you can, unless you move somebody on the current roster that's making some coin, to bring in a defenseman. Listen, I'd love to have Chychrun. I love what Edmonton did get in Ekholm. That's not possible. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. You know, there's hopefully that Lindgren's healthy. It's a nice thing to have, but the cap space is going to make it very prohibitive for them to even think about getting anybody of any significance. They're going to have to go with the seven they have, Harper being the extra defenseman. Hopefully Lindgren's healthy, and that's what they're going to go with. I can't imagine them being able to do anything else by Friday.
Would they trade away someone to maybe free up more cap space to
I mean, that's what they'd have to do. But who? I mean, you just said, I don't want to get rid of Lafreniere or Kako. That kid line's starting to play well. I mean, I don't think anybody on this current roster is expendable, honestly, that is gonna give you the freedom and the flexibility to add any kind of salary. I don't touch this team. I like this team a lot. Tarasenko is going to be better. Kane's going to fit in perfectly. I love their blue line as long as they stay healthy. This is going to be a fun spring with all three locals. The Islanders got a big point last night. Peter, we're going to have all three in the playoffs. Devils and Rangers are going to play each other in the first round, which guarantees us a local in the second round. It's going to be a fun with the Knicks, Nets both going to the playoffs. I think the Nets at minimum are going to be a play-in team. It's going to be a fun spring. Fun.
The area is going to be wild. You know, helter-skelter in a good way.
Yeah.
Peter, think about it, man. We've been complaining, moaning, and groaning in New York sports. We haven't had a championship, blah, 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 blah. We're going to get into the spring with the Mets, Yankees being two of the best teams in baseball, all the winter sports teams in the postseason every single day. There's going to be multiple topics and multiple games going on of significance.
Don, I'll pay you $50 if you can tell me who just hit the home run for the Yankees.
I don't have it
in front of me. It's number 94, the great number 94.
Oh, well, listen, it is 94?
Yeah.
Benny Agbayani.
No, it's not Benny Agbayani. I would have to.
Oosterhuizen.
Fritz Lupley.
What's the guy's name again? Narváez.
Was it a walk-off? I have no idea where they are.
I can't see the score, so I don't know. Is it? It was.
That
was
you know what? I'm going to say this right now, okay? Because Michael will probably be joining us to start the next break.
Oh, yeah. He's going to come in hot.
I'm in Philadelphia right now, so I can't physically do it, but I'm going to mentally choke him out.
Okay.
If he opens the next segment with the walk-off home run.
Now, here's the question. Will you mentally decapitate him if, in fact, the thing is simply all he says is, so the Yankees win on a blah, blah, blah. That was neat. Anyways.
That's fine. But if you start breaking it down.
How long does the conversation have to go before you're disgusted?
More than 25 seconds.
Anthony, can you write that down, please? 25 seconds as the over-under on how long Michael can babble on about a spring training walk-off by a player no one's heard of.
And also, I don't know how I could mentally choke him out, but stay tuned.
What are the stakes if he goes over?
I'm going to mentally choke him out.
He's going to mentally choke him out.
And you have to listen to find out what that means. Fritz Loopley.
All the answers are right inside me.
Peter, you don't understand it. You know nothing about baseball. That's why you don't know about Narvaez. You don't know nothing. Hey,
listen, we had a caller who very eloquently said that I have a better baseball acumen than Michael does.
That's right.
I'm telling you. I thought he made some salient points. More than 25 seconds, I will mentally choke him out.
I want to play this. Anthony sent me another clip of Aaron Rodgers from the Aubrey Marcus pod that he described as simply more Rodgers being a nozzle. Want to hear it?
Yes, I did.
You know, I've been doubted before. And look, honestly, I felt in the first year that Matt was here, Matt was in Green Bay in 19, I felt at times like a game manager. Like it was just, I didn't quite understand what we were doing at times on offense. And my job was to take care of the football. And I did, you know, I threw 4 interceptions and 26 touchdowns and we were 13-3, but I felt like there was so much more. And you know, then they drafted my replacement and then I won MVP twice and I threw 85 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in 2 years. And obviously there were some changes that happened on the team and the coaching staff and I didn't have my best year plan. And there's probably people that think I'm done. I thought I was done before I became COVID MVP twice. Again, there'd be plenty of inspiration down that road.
Why does he do that? He refers to his back-to-back MVPs as COVID MVPs.
Yeah, why does he say that as a guy who's like sort of anti-COVID? Isn't that weird?
But isn't he kind of it sounds like he's devaluing his MVPs.
No, that's what I find so odd about it. So I'm not making any political judgment, everyone calm down.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who clearly had his COVID question marks, was anti-vax, all those things. He decides to call his MVPs his COVID MVPs. Like, why would you do that? That minimizes them completely.
The only thing I can think of, he's saying it sarcastically as if other people call it that.
Oh.
I never hear anybody call it that.
Me neither, but those
are legitimate MVPs.
Absolutely.
They weren't, you know, if you want to say that the Lakers and the Lightning championships in the bubble might have a little something. I can understand that.
Although I still don't respect it because the fact is they had to overcome a lot. That was such a unique circumstance.
Yeah, I don't, but I've heard that. I've heard, you know, the bubble championship or the COVID championship. But his MVPs, I don't think they were compromised in any way. But he must hear that or think that's being said, and he's being sarcastic by calling it that. That's the nozzly answer.
We'll be joined by Michael Kay very, very shortly, right here on the said Michael Kay program on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's uncomfortable.
No, I don't think I could.
Really? But she's total smoke show.
At times incriminating.
Well, hold on.
Let's not be rash.
Don, hold on, but don't answer yet.
And a Michael Kay Show favorite.
Michael, you're such a chime.
It's the Would Ya Game.
We play it off the air all the time. The Would Ya Game.
Ah. Yeah.
Woo!
What a way to rejoin the show after the Yankees win 4-2.
Woo!
I've got so many woodjas today. All right. Split up into two segments, 3:45 and 4:45.
No, no.
No, I love it. No, don't discourage him.
No, I love it.
Don was all for this. We talked it over. We left you out of the discussion,
good.
Peter. Here
it's
we go.
Pleasant surprise for me.
Here you go. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Both of you, would you want to fulfill your wildest dream or go back and rectify your biggest regret?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is easy.
Really?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Live out my greatest dream.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Thankfully, everybody's got regrets, but nothing that I feel like I have to go back and change over living the ultimate dream.
I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God. Peter, you feel the same way?
Fritz Loopley.
I feel the same way because the reality is the mistakes that we make,
I hear you.
Make who we are. It's part of the whole thing. You know, I can't become infallible. None of us can. It's all part of the, not to get too
but
deep
this
on
is,
you.
This is allowing you to be erase the thing that you failed at.
But I needed to fail at it.
Nothing in your life would change other than you just erase the worst thing.
Yeah, but that would change a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't change. The way the game is, it wouldn't change anything.
Don, you know exactly what I'm saying. You know why, Don? Because you're smart. Michael, not so much.
And Michael saw Back to the Future, but he didn't digest any of the
information. Yeah, he didn't digest Back to the Future, understand it can't work that way.
Right. If you go back in time and you correct the mistake, then the path that you would follow to the present would be completely changed. Like, everything happens for a reason. I'm not trying to get too deep, but
it's
true, is that everything happens, and it's ultimately connected to where you are. So if Peter went to a time machine and made that change, the future, the present that he'd return to would be completely different because the path would be all messed up.
All right. If that's the way you guys are going to play the game, fine.
I have a sports-centered one.
You ready?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is dark.
Dark is good.
I love dark.
All right, so
dark,
you have a favorite team.
Do I have a favorite team?
No, you do.
Okay, yeah.
Don has a favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Would you want your team to win a championship and then the star player who you've never met but you have admired from afar, that person would die an untimely death the next day after the championship.
Oh, my. Again, these are the two worst. You know what? Maybe we should cancel the 4:45. Done. Have you thought?
Why? I mean, there's a lot of fans that would take that. They don't know the person.
Those are bad people. Those are evil people.
Evil, horrible human beings.
So what you're saying is...
Okay, but to add a caveat to this, your team will never win a championship, but they can win a championship that year, but the big star that you don't even know, that you admire him, is dead the next day.
No, all the answers are right inside me.
No,
I
have to live with that.
Yeah,
that is Michael. The fact that you think that's a woodja is really troubling.
Wow, that's really macabre.
It's more than macabre. it's beyond. It's macabre plus. It's macabre. So you're telling me the Commanders somehow win the Super Bowl next year.
Right.
And the next day, God forbid, Terry McLaurin just steps into traffic and gets mowed down by an 18-wheeler?
Right.
No, I would not accept that. That is awful. An awful person you are.
I'm glad you
went. Why am I an awful person for asking the question?
Only somebody that's on their way to hell, only a bad person with a black heart would ask that question in something that's supposed to be a form of entertainment. All right, so let's put a face on this. Don LaGreca, 18 years old. Giants had never won in my lifetime. They got a chance to win the Super Bowl. Bowl 21.
Yep.
But Lawrence Taylor has to die the day after.
Right.
I couldn't do it.
But can I simplify the question, Don? You know what Michael's asking us?
What's that?
Would you kill a human being to have your team win a championship?
There's no blood on your hands.
It is.
No.
Yeah.
Of course it's on our hands.
You didn't kill the person.
Yes, we are by saying yes.
I just did. I played the Woodja game promoting the show with Jeff Nelson. And I said, if you could pitch in the big leagues again, would you give up your earlobe? And he said quickly, yes, I would.
That's a total.
It's an earlobe.
Earlobe's nothing. This is a human life.
If you guys aren't going to play the game,
let's get this straight. You're not playing the game.
Yeah, you're playing it just fine.
No, you're not giving. You know what this is, Don? This isn't a game. It's a look into the sick, crazed mind of Michael K. All it is.
This is playing that game where you put your hand on the table and you're taking the knife between the fingers.
Right.
Like, it's scary. It's disturbing.
All right, so, Don, you used to do this. This is another would you.
Okay.
Your third one. To win a championship, would you literally carve off a pinky toe?
All right, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now, is it the only championship they're going to get?
No, just the championship.
No.
Don?
There was a time that the answer would definitely be yes. I bring this up all the time, Peter. Oh, if the Giants can win this Super Bowl, I'd carve off my pinky toe with a spork.
But, not even a sharp knife, Peter. It's
right,
going to be
painful
with
just
spork.
A dull-edged piece of plastic that would take like half a day to finally – like that. There was a time, seriously, there was a time – that I would have definitely said yes, but now that I've matured, I'm 55. I've got kids. I'm not carving off body parts for a championship.
By the way, Michael, isn't it perfectly Don that, of course, just carving off the pinky? That's not enough. Don needs more pain, so he's got to go spork.
Well, we'll have more would ya at 4:45.
I hope one of them is actually like hard to. To respond to.
Well, you know what? We'll see, okay, Peter? That's why people have to listen to the whole show.
Here's what I'm hoping.
I want to tell you about Guns N' Roses.
Oh.
They're headed to MetLife Stadium on August 15th.
Sure
they are. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets all week with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael K. Show. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.